This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guests this morning are Nancy Hirsch, Policy Director for the Northwest Energy Coalition, and Mo McBroom, Policy Director for Washington Environmental Council. Nancy and Mo are here today to tell us about priorities for environmental legislation in the 2012 Washington State Legislative Session, which begins on January the 9th. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about the Environmental Priorities Coalition?
Sure. This is Mo with the Washington Environmental Council. And in Washington State, the environmental community has organized itself around priorities. And more than 20 groups come together every year before the beginning of the legislative session to determine what is most salient, most important for us to prioritize and work on as a coalition. Now, all of us work on various issues, clean air, clean water, every year. But this year, as in other years, we've chosen a limited set of things that we're coming together around. And this year, there are three priorities. The first, which we'll talk about today, is fulfilling our clean energy initiative. And Nancy will speak to that this morning. Also, we have a priority called pollution-free prosperity, which is about protecting our most important environmental laws and protections. And then finally, the toxic-free kids priority, which is about protecting children from the toxics that can be in products.
Why did the environmental community choose these particular priorities for the 2012 session?
We know that the state is facing very tough times with a significant budget deficit, potential huge cuts across the board to things that we all care about. And we decided that this year we really needed to focus on those priorities that were about maintaining the things that make Washington a great place to live and work, and then also to find those good stories, those victories that we can. And so I think this collection of priorities is really about getting back to the core environmental protections that are most important.
Would you comment on the likely political environment for environmental legislation in the 2012 Washington State Legislative Session?
I think it's going to be a tough year. I mean, we know now that there is a big push for what people are calling reform. And what that really means is, you know, big business and other interests are taking the crisis that we're in right now to create opportunities to roll back regulations, whether it's environmental or worker safety or minimum wage laws. There are efforts to use this crisis as an excuse to go after those things that we've worked so hard for so long to put in place. So I think it's going to be a tough session. I think many interests, including the environmental community, will be very much on defense. But I think there's also great opportunity for us to come together and to show decision makers and others, again, how important these things are and how core environmental protection is to our basic values as Washingtonians.
I also think that people feel that their values are very much embedded in the existing laws and protections that we have. And as the concept of rollbacks start to become something they hear about, there's a pushback that we don't want to roll back environmental protections in particular and other health and safety laws and protections that are in place, and that people value maintaining the existing system and protections.
And I think our challenge this year will really be to highlight that to the legislature, to ensure that we're doing everything we can to get the public engaged, to ensure that people are revved up and ready to speak up at the right time. And I think if we can mobilize the general public to get them to weigh in, I think that we've got a good shot at coming out of session both, you know, with core environmental protections intact and also with a few wins.
Let's now talk in depth about the individual priorities. And the toxic-free kids priority was covered in a sustainability segment interview in December by Ivy Sager-Rosenthal of the Washington Toxics Coalition. So today we'll talk about the other two priorities. And why don't we start out with the Fulfilling Our Clean Energy Initiative? So Initiative 937 was passed by Washington State voters in 2006. Would you remind us of what I-937 proposed?
Okay, it has two components, and it applies to the 17 largest utilities in Washington State. And those 17 utilities provide over 85, almost closer to 90% of the electricity for Washingtonians. And the two components of the law, one is an energy efficiency requirement, which requires those 17 utilities to go out and capture all the cost-effective energy conservation in their communities, to go out and work with businesses and residences and industries and homeowners to try and help them put in energy efficiency and energy conservation measures that will lower their energy bill and save them money. The second component is a renewable energy requirement that 15% of the electricity that's used by each of those 17 utilities needs to come from an eligible renewable energy resource like wind, solar, geothermal, biomass, and that 15% needs to be in place by 2020. And there are stair-step requirements, the first of which has just gone into effect in January 2012, and that's a 3% requirement. And then there's a 9% requirement, and then we get to the 15% in 2020.
What has I-937 accomplished so far?
Well, on the energy efficiency side, that set of provisions went into effect in January 2010, and it has had amazing success. In fact, all of the largest utilities have done and achieved more energy savings than they had planned for when they filed their first plans at the end of 2009. So even in tough economic times, consumers are interested in investments that save them money in the long run. And so we've seen lots of activity on the energy efficiency side. The energy efficiency businesses are busier than ever. In fact, we've seen that they're the one set of industries that are hiring during this economic downturn.
What are some examples of the energy efficiency that's been put into place?
Well, there have been some building retrofits that have been installed in various buildings. The UW Hospital System has installed some energy efficiency systems working with Seattle City Light. Homeowners, new heat furnaces, new weather stripping, air handling systems for commercial buildings to keep airflow moving through office space. There's lots of different types of technologies. And on the renewable energy side, again, since the law went into effect, and even before that, when the law was passed, we've seen the renewable energy industry and utilities that have begun to build infrastructure to meet the first set of requirements that come into effect in 2012. And over $6 billion of investment have been put in place in Washington State from new renewable energy facilities, and that covers biomass, solar, and wind. Those are the big three investments that we've seen on the renewable energy side all across Washington and different areas, which has been a particular support for rural economies that are struggling in the down economy. They've seen new investment. In fact, just from the wind industry alone, there's been $40 million in new revenue to local governments from taxes paid by renewable energy generators.
Would you say more about how jobs have been affected?
Well, the wind industry alone announces that they've brought on about 1,000 workers, both permanent and temporary, for construction. And if we add the construction from anaerobic digesters and other biomass facilities and some small solar, the number goes up from there, closer to 1,500 workers over the course of a project's development. They may not be permanent, but there have been lots of outlay for new workers and for keeping folks on the job who might have otherwise been laid off.
How well has I-937 worked so far in meeting its goals? What is your evaluation?
I would say at this point in time, all the utilities have met their renewable energy obligations and they've met their energy efficiency obligations. So it is working. We have projects in the ground. We have energy savings happening. We have consumers with lower energy bills. So from our perspective, it's been a huge success. We've been able to maintain a commitment to the clean energy investment and the clean energy transition for Washington, even while the economy has slowed down.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Nancy Hirsch, Policy Director for the Northwest Energy Coalition, and Mo McBroom, Policy Director for Washington Environmental Council. Our topic is priorities for environmental legislation in the 2012 Washington State legislative session, and you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. What steps do you hope the 2012 Washington State Legislature will take to further implement I-937?
There are a number of technical and implementation changes that can be put into place by the legislature. We have a number of implementation changes that we think will facilitate and ease the work of the utilities in implementing and meeting their renewable targets and their energy efficiency targets. And so in our minds, there are a variety of changes that the legislature can make that will ease implementation, expand the number of resources that are available for the utilities to select, and will make the energy efficiency program even easier to implement for the utilities.
How responsive do you think the legislature will be to these proposals?
I think there's a lot of interest in facilitating implementation and making it easier for the utilities to comply with the law. One of the concerns we have is that we don't go too far, and this gets to the conversation we'll have with Mo on rollbacks and whether easing of implementation should not be code for rolling back the law. And I don't think there's a lot of support for that in the legislature. I think they want to maintain the goals set by the law. It is still the single most effective tool to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in Washington State. And there's some acknowledgement of that within the legislature. They want to maintain that priority and that value that voters are committed to.
What are the key ways that people might try to amend I-937 in ways that might not be productive to its goals?
Well, I think we'll see proposals to exempt utilities wholesale. If you are this kind of utility, then you're exempt from the law. And I think we'll see proposals to add old resources that have already been in existence for 80 years.
Like hydropower is?
Biomass, some biomass facilities and hydropower. Hydropower is a renewable resource. Only efficiency improvements at existing facilities is an eligible renewable resource. And I think there'll be a move to expand that definition to include all hydropower. And one of the things that I think voters recognize is that some legislators recognize is that Washington State is already 70% served by hydropower. So one of the goals of 9937 was to diversify our renewable energy base and build on that foundation of hydropower to add the new advanced renewable technologies that Washington State is also blessed with.
You mentioned potential rollbacks for I-937, but there's concern about rollbacks in other environmental areas. Mo, would you like to speak about some of those, which ones are likely to be out there and of highest priority?
Why don't I start with just a little bit of context? I mean, we know we're really lucky to live in Washington because Washington has long been a leader when it comes to environmental protection and all the different things that we've put in place. We were the first state in the country to establish a Department of Ecology to focus on environmental protection. We've led the nation in a number of things, whether it's reducing toxics or promoting recycling programs. And so we're really lucky to have this legacy to look back on. But I think what that also means is potentially because of these great achievements, we do have a lot to lose. Washington's economy is very much built on a clean environment. You know, it's funny when there's a lot of large employers here, many of whom could locate anywhere in the country. And when you talk to people about why Washington or why one of our big cities, often you hear it's the quality of life. This is the place that our workers want to live. So there's a lot at stake. And every year in the legislative session, there are attempts to undermine environmental protections. There's been a national dialogue, a creation of a false choice at a national level where certain interests are saying it's jobs or the environment. Now, I think most people in Washington know that that is a false choice, that that's not true. It's not jobs or the environment. A strong environment helps bring jobs. But nonetheless, we're fighting against that perception, a perception held by some legislators that the environmental protections we have in place are a problem or hinder economic growth or hinder job creation. We've got to debunk that message. And I think the way it's going to manifest itself this year is on attacks to some of the core things that have been in place for quite some time. Now, session hasn't started, so we don't know yet exactly what bills will be introduced. But certainly we have seen, you know, some interest. The House Republicans in the fall had a jobs creation plan, which they wrote about, Representative DeBolt, in an op-ed. And that was a four-plank plan. Each plank was environmental rollbacks at some level, which is interesting. I-937 was one of the things he mentioned, but also undermining the system we have in place that limits pollution emitted from big industrial facilities. And he was also proposing undermining the system we have in place that limits sprawl and helps our cities grow into dense, livable communities. So we expect to be working on many, many different issues and be on the defensive. But again, as I said earlier, I think we have real great opportunities here to mobilize the public and remind legislators just how much we care about our clean environment and the protections that maintain our healthy environment.
What approach are you going to take to preventing these rollbacks?
Well, it's clearly, with each rollback or each attempt, there's going to be a different issue and a different conversation. There are talks about undermining our system for reducing toxic runoff. That's the polluted water that runs off our streets and roads or from industrial facilities. So with that example, if there is an effort to reduce those protections, I think what we'll do is sit down with the proponents of the legislation and ensure that we understand where they're coming from, what their concerns are, see if there are ways that the laws that are in place could be improved or changed so that they function better or that they are easier to implement. But then ultimately, with real attempts to roll back and reduce protections, I think it's going to be a pretty direct decision that legislators are faced with. They can either choose to kowtow to these big interests who are seeking to limit the protections, or they can follow the will of the voters and maintain the system we have in place that works so well. So we're going to try to ensure that legislators understand that choice and that they're hearing from the public and they understand the values that people will be thinking about as they're watching the legislative process.
To what extent do you think the legislators are likely to work to prevent the rollbacks? How receptive are they?
Oh, I think as with Initiative 937, we are very blessed in Washington. There are probably a majority of legislators who really care about the environment. So I think that we will have a core group of strong champions who are going to be working with us closely. I think the challenge will be reaching and having good constructive conversations with those folks who don't understand necessarily how the system of protections works and why certain things are so very important. So there's going to be a lot of education that we're going to need to do. And again, I keep coming back to public participation. I think as long as we are able to ensure that people, constituents, the public are talking to their legislators and legislators are hearing about how important this stuff is, I think there's a great opportunity for a really constructive conversation this session.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Nancy Hirsch, Policy Director for the Northwest Energy Coalition, and Mo McBroom, Policy Director for Washington Environmental Council. Our topic is priorities for environmental legislation in the 2012 Washington State Legislative Session, and you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Are there specific priorities for preventing rollbacks? Are there particular topic areas that you think are most important where you might put the majority of your effort?
We have been trying to determine what is most at risk. And I mentioned one of them earlier, our system of reducing and limiting toxic runoff. In addition, our state has had in place for many decades a Growth Management Act, which has done a very good job at limiting the kinds of sprawl that we've seen elsewhere in the country. The Growth Management Act, year after year, is under attack, and I think it will be again this year. We're going to have to work very hard to ensure that that is not rolled back. In addition, I think there are a number of clean air laws related to, you know, climate that we've heard talk of potentially reversing or changing. In the forest realm, there are a number of protections that prevent polluted runoff from forested areas and logged areas, and I think we're going to need to work very hard to ensure that those protections remain in place.
In the area of the budget, are there particular environmental programs that you feel you might have to work to protect as far as budget cuts?
Yeah. Every year, again, there is a pretty robust conversation around the budget. As we've moved into this economic downturn, environmental programs have been already cut to the core. We saw last year, well, over the last 3 years, natural resources in our state budget has been cut. 24% of its general fund support has been eliminated, and that's more than any other function of government. So we've got a broad-based problem. Although I think the environmental programs will take additional cuts this year, everything will. We're going to need to really work hard to focus those cuts in places where we think they can be sustained. And I think one area that is most under threat is the Puget Sound Partnership. That is a recently created entity that is our best hope right now for Puget Sound recovery. And they are working very hard to come up with a cohesive plan for recovery and then to ensure that that plan is implemented. They also bring in significant federal dollars. So it's an entity that's still in many ways getting up and running, but has done some amazing things to set a course and provide funding for important Puget Sound projects. And I think for various reasons, in part because it's a relatively new agency, the Puget Sound Partnership will feel its budget quite threatened, and the environmental community is ready to stand up and to work hard to ensure that cuts are not too detrimental to the important work that they do.
I would just add, Diane, the couple areas that we're paying attention to on the budget side. Within the Department of Commerce, there's an energy policy group. It is really the only entity within the state that pays attention to energy issues. Department of Commerce is interested in developing the renewable energy industry, the clean energy technology sector, and within that agency is this energy policy group that has already, as Mo said, taken some reductions. And we expect it will continue to do that. There have been proposals in the past to eliminate the Energy Policy Group from the Department of Commerce. We're going to try and work to make sure that doesn't happen so that the state can continue to foster the clean energy technology and industry within this state.
In addition to the environmental priorities, is there other environmental legislation of note you would like to mention?
I would add that there is a lot of interest among legislators, particularly in the House, for small-scale renewable energy, what we call distributed generation, which is solar panels on your roof, small-scale community-based wind projects where a small community or a school might put up one or two wind turbines. And Representative Eddy has really been leading that effort in the House to investigate what are the barriers to more small-scale, community-based renewable energy technologies. And I think we'll have a number of bills to try and address those barriers and increase efficiency and implementation for those technologies and really get them in the ground faster and help communities develop those resources.
I think I would add, we know that there's a lot of interest in energy efficiency. This is a good time to be thinking about how the state can promote energy efficiency and create energy efficiency jobs. So we imagine we'll see something in that space, and we know a number of proposals that are being worked on right now. In addition, there is going to be a major conversation this session around transportation and the state's transportation future. In the past, we have established transportation packages that have paid for new roads, and now we find ourselves as a state at a point where we will need a significant new investment in order to maintain the road system that we have, and also, and importantly, in order to shore up our transit system, which we so desperately need to get people to and from work, and to reduce the toxic runoff from roads. And so there has been a conversation over the summer. The governor convened Connecting Washington, which is a group of folks talking about what a potential transportation package might look like. And there are proposals coming out now for new revenue for road maintenance, for transit, and for stormwater. The environmental community has been very involved in that conversation. We are hoping to see a transportation package which is different from the old ways of doing things, that are more focused on the things that we care about as far as really getting people to and from work, mobility, improvements that promote health, and again, reducing toxic runoff. So we will see how far that will get. Some people are saying that this is not the right year for a transportation package, and others are saying it's exactly what we need to really inject some resources into the economy and get people working again.
Would you like to tell us about the legislative workshop that is taking place on Saturday, January the 7th, the day this program airs, in Seattle, and also Environmental Lobby Day on Wednesday, January 25th in Olympia?
Sure, I can speak to that. Legislative workshop is at Kane Hall on the UW campus this year. It starts at 9:30 in the morning. Come a little earlier for coffee and donuts. It's a great opportunity for people to learn more about what the environmental community is doing, learn how to get engaged, and I think most importantly, learn those skills that would allow them to really weigh in, learning a lot about how legislators perceive communications from their constituents and what they need to hear and how best to pick up the phone and call them or go visit them. So that's what the legislative workshop is about, and it feeds right into Lobby Day, which happens once the legislature's in session. And that's a time when the environmental community comes together down in Olympia, and we invite the public to come join us to directly lobby legislators. It's a chance for the public in an organized way to weigh in, and we set up meetings with legislators so people can go and sit down and talk to the folks that represent them. And it's a fun way also to network and get to know other people who really care about environmental protection.
And both events are fun ways to feel like you're not the only one picking up the phone, but that you're with a whole army of folks who are working together and have the same values that you have and want to convey that to legislators. And I think that it makes it easier for the public to get engaged when they know they're not out there by themselves. And they also realize that legislators want to hear from their constituents, and they enjoy those meetings because it gives them a chance to put a face to their community and have that community come in to see them in Olympia where they don't often get visitors.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
The message on the Clean Energy Initiative is we want to maintain and fulfill the promise of the clean energy transition for Washington State. The law is working, and it's been effective at putting people to work and putting projects in the ground and investing in our buildings and in our infrastructure. And it is a part of a vision to the future for clean energy, and we need to maintain that.
And more broadly, get engaged. There's so much at stake. There's so many beautiful things about Washington that we love and that we can stand to lose if we are unsuccessful in making the case for environmental protection. So it is all about showing decision makers and legislators how much the public cares about this stuff, and we need everybody out there to join with us and work hard to have a successful year. And I think if we do engage the public, we can do it.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have just been listening to Nancy Hirsch, Policy Director for the Northwest Energy Coalition, and Mo McBroom, Policy Director for Washington Environmental Council, speak about priorities for environmental legislation in the 2012 Washington State Legislative Session. For more information, check on the web at www.environmentalpriorities.org. Again, that's environmentalpriorities.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the Streaming Archives section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on podcasting, and scroll down to Mind Over Matters sustainability segment. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.